tell you, yesterday was somewhat of a bittersweet day. The final remnants of jQuery were removed entirely from the Laracast codebase. And as I was writing that final commit, remove jQuery, I thought for a minute, oh, this is actually a little bit sad. I mean, as far back as, I'm not sure, 2007, something like that, personally, I've used and even evangelized jQuery. Because seriously, it can't be understated how significant an influence the framework has had on the community as a whole. So if you're somewhat new to the industry, maybe in the last 5 years, yeah, this isn't just a case of a tool, you know, having its heyday and slowly sunsetting. And in fact, people use it across the board. So it's still very much up and running for the long haul. But I think in general, there's probably a slow movement away towards things like, not just Vue or React, but also simple vanilla JavaScript, which has advanced immensely. And again, in large part, thanks to the developments that were brought on through jQuery and through the contributions of that community. I don't know how else to put it, but yeah, it can't be understated how influential jQuery has been. When I was first learning JavaScript, I don't know when it would have been, 2006, somewhere around there, it was tough. Back then, you would buy a JavaScript book, and for whatever reason, they weren't very user-friendly. These days, you can be much more visual. You can show them common UI components that they will build, like when you click on this, then toggle a little context menu, you know, the sorts of things that you'll build for every site. That's a great way, I think, to learn not just JavaScript, but to learn the sorts of logic and interactions that you're going to be working on most days. But back then, it wasn't quite like that. There was lots of, I remember, I would read chapter 1 and chapter 2, where it introduces the basic concepts. Okay, we're good there. I understand this. And then you'd get to chapter 3, and all of a sudden, there'd be all these for loops, these nested for loops. So for I equals 0, and I is less than whatever, I plus plus. And then within it, for j equals 0, and j is less than I or n. And it's like, when you're first learning, it can be a little overwhelming, especially if this is your first language and introduction to programming as a whole. You're barely learning what a variable is at that point. You know, you might even be at the point where you're thinking, what's the value in creating a variable? I have the number or the string. Why does it need to be saved to a variable? You know, these are the sorts of things just about all of us think about when you're first learning. It's kind of fun to write those down. The one I often share is not JavaScript, but HTML, trying to figure out what the purpose of a div is. I've talked about that before. It took a long time. Nothing happens when I wrap this stuff within a div. Why is it there? What is the benefit? Why is everyone using these divs? Because it's not doing anything from what I can see. So sometimes it's easy to forget those are the roadblocks you hit when you're first learning. But yeah, anyways, as I was trying to learn JavaScript, you hit chapter 3 and it's nested loops and it's all to construct things that I'm not really sure when I would use them in real life. And the reality is, it was just a different time. The sorts of things they needed to teach you, it wasn't just how to build common interactions that you see in most sites. They were also teaching you how to make up for the fact that there was a lot lacking from the language at the time. Even something as simple as, when you click this button, add a class to that div or whatever it is. In 2007 or whatever it was, you can do it, sure, but it wasn't so easy as saying classList.add or classList.toggle. And even beyond that, you could get it to work in one browser, but not necessarily another browser, because things were just all out of whack. So you were constantly having to figure out the right way or the official spec way, while also considering that in IE6, it doesn't work. So what would be the not polyfill, but what would be the workaround to get it to work cross-browser? So again, as a student, you're trying to learn JavaScript, but you're really being inundated with nonstop workarounds to address things that you don't even really understand. And I know what you're thinking, and this is something to be aware of. But back then, that stuff wasn't necessarily the limitations of JavaScript. Well, some of it was, of course. The APIs we have access to now did not exist back then. But even on top of that, you were dealing with not just JavaScript, but the limitations of the browser. And that's what I'm talking about when dealing with cross-browser concerns and all the workarounds you have to deal with. So nonetheless, as a student, I think a lot of people tried to learn JavaScript, and it goes right over their head. At that point, so much of that functionality was still nice to have sort of things. It wasn't as connected as it is today. It wasn't as expected as it is today. So I think a lot of people ignored it. You know, they tried their best to learn it. They'd get overwhelmed, and then they would either copy and paste the solution. This is why JavaScript very much back then was the copy and paste language. It's just very difficult. But then, slowly but surely over the years, JavaScript libraries and frameworks were introduced to deal with the limitations of not just the language, but of course, the various browsers, and to normalize the inconsistencies between the browsers. This is where we have Scriptaculous and MooTools, and then jQuery, which of course was far and away the most influential of them. If you didn't experience the frustration of trying to do basic actions, just dive into the DOM, get this element, and toggle a class, even the most basic possible things like that ended up being difficult. And don't even start trying to do basic animation. God, something as simple as when you click on this, transition or animate this black box to the left 100 pixels. You know, you have CSS3 animations and transitions now. It's as simple as adding a class or toggling a class. But again, back then, you're dealing with all these like micro animations, all these loops. Everything back then was just nonstop confusing loops as you update these values. And of course, back then, the engines weren't nearly as fast as they are now. So everything struggled, and it would work here, and it would stutter over there. And in this mobile browser, it wouldn't even begin to function. It was all a nightmare. But then jQuery gets introduced, and it not only normalizes all of those inconsistencies, so you don't even have to think about it, which is incredible, but also it introduces this API that actually fits the way people think. Or in other words, it fits the way you would expect it to work. So all of a sudden, JavaScript becomes accessible not just to programmers who have figured it out, but to more front-end. Well, at the time, front-end was more HTML, CSS. Now it's kind of evolved to include JavaScript. But back then, it was a bonus if you knew JavaScript. But at least as I remember it, it was mostly, you're going to do the HTML and the CSS. And if you can do the JavaScript, that's great. Otherwise, we may have to bring somebody in to help out with that. But yeah, all of a sudden, once jQuery was available, it was simple enough to use that anyone could start diving into the DOM, grabbing some elements, chaining them, and doing something with it, whether it's animations or fancy little navbars. And back then, it led to all sorts of over-the-top plugins, lots of lava lamp navigation things. As gaudy as you can get, people would go there because you could, you know. But before then, of course, all of this stuff was doable, but it was too complicated, too confusing for most of us. It was limited to who were truly seasoned in JavaScript. And what's funny is this did lead to constant debates and arguments and discussions about, is jQuery useful? Because there's no doubt it's abstracting away some of the complexities. And as the argument goes, you need to know those complexities at some point. So if jQuery is hiding them from you, you're doing yourself a disservice. At least this is the argument. I don't subscribe to that at all. Anything to make things a bit more simple for common developers, how could it not be a good thing? But nonetheless, that was the argument, is jQuery is hiding fundamentals that you must know about the language. However, in their defense, what I will grant them is it must be very annoying back then when you would search for JavaScript questions and solutions. Even up to this day, the answers are provided just assuming you use jQuery. So if you want the vanilla JavaScript solution, it became increasingly difficult because everyone was using jQuery. And it almost became synonymous with JavaScript, even though it shouldn't have been. Even to this day, that can be frustrating when I'm trying to research something and I can only find the jQuery solution, which is irrelevant to my needs. That can be frustrating. But nonetheless, that's just how it is for anything that becomes immensely popular. Anyways, when I think about those arguments between maybe like the JavaScript purists versus those who were embracing jQuery, I think one thing the purist, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but just to give it a term, I think one thing the purists didn't appreciate is that jQuery provided a welcome mat to people who had been scared away by the language and the inconsistencies and the browser quirks. It laid out a welcome mat that said, hey, you can now do this stuff. And all of a sudden, literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people were walking through that door. And not all of them did this, but a big percentage of them learned jQuery and then wanted to figure out what was going on underneath the hood. So very quickly, they began either learning more about the general JavaScript language itself, even though jQuery is JavaScript, they'd pull back a layer and start figuring out, okay, how exactly are you adding or removing event listeners, or how are you performing this animation? You know, they like many of us, are curious and want to figure out what's happening behind the scenes. A big percentage of people did that. Now, among those people included those who graduated not just to that, but began contributing to jQuery itself, who then branched out and started making their own frameworks or started contributing to the advancement of ECMAScript and JavaScript as a whole. Now, of course, this doesn't include everyone, but again, it can't be understated that so many of those people were introduced to JavaScript through jQuery, specifically because, again, it put out a welcome mat. It gave you something where you thought, I can do this. I can figure this out. When before that, the browser differences and quirks alone were enough to completely overwhelm you, and you didn't even bother. So when I think about all of this over the years and how long it's been, it is somewhat bittersweet to have written that commit that finally removed jQuery. And like I said at the beginning of the video, I want to make this clear. I removed jQuery from the Laracast code base, not because, you know, it's old and dated. No, it's going to exist in countless applications. In fact, when I tweeted about this the other day, somebody responded and said they're on the job hunt, but so many companies are requesting jQuery knowledge as a prerequisite, and he or she doesn't think it's necessary to learn because it's so far past its heyday. And my response was, you have to remember, though, so many of these projects you're going to be hired to maintain were built many years ago, or even a few years ago, and they do use jQuery. So yes, you will be expected to know jQuery. This is a good thing to learn. And again, the wonderful thing about the framework is you can learn it in a reasonable amount of time. It's not that complicated. It's the huge selling feature of it, so there's no reason not to learn it. It'll continue to be around for a very long time. And to this day, I highly recommend it. It was just a situation for the Laracast code base. That cost, I couldn't justify because so many of the things I would use it for back in 2013 or 2012, they've been replaced by native APIs that work equally as well, or in fact are more performant because they're not accounting for browsers that I don't care about. I don't have to deal with IE8 or IE9 anymore. So I can depend upon these native APIs, especially considering the user base who accesses Laracast. So it's funny, like even in 2007, something as simple as document.querySelector didn't exist. So again, jQuery, I'm not sure if it was the first, I don't think jQuery was, I'm not going to say either way, I can't remember. But from what I experienced, it was the first tool that introduced CSS selectors when querying the DOM with JavaScript. Even to this day, when I think about it, it kind of blows my mind that it hadn't been done before then. Or if it had, maybe by one other person. I'm not sure. You can fact check me on that. But nonetheless, we should all be very thankful for people like John Resick and people similar to that, You know, if you're like me, I can figure out some things, I can get it to work, but people like that are very much on a different level. And what's nice is they have the ability to raise us all up. So we should all be incredibly thankful for people who not just make us better, but make the community and the ecosystem so much better. That's it. That's all I have to say about jQuery. So I'll see you next week, and we'll talk about something else.